And away we go. Hour number two on this Getaway Friday, Friday, April 3rd, 2024, 3:20, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. And yes, we are still live. Now, this morning in the middle of this pandemic, as we've been doing since it started, we have invited friends on this show, and there might not be any greater friend than the friend we're about to invite to these microphones. We've had Pat Carroll, we've had Ted Williams, we've had Phil Donahue, Dick Cavett. A lot of great people in the last couple weeks have come on this program, but this gentleman always makes us laugh. He comes on Thanksgiving, he comes on at Christmas time, he comes on... He was on New Year's Eve. Who would have thought 2020 would be a year like this, a year like nobody has ever seen, as we head into what people say will be the worst 3 weeks of this? It's really an unbelievable time. But one thing we do have to mention in this moment, this gentleman also comes on when it's birthday time for him. And by the way, birthday time is just around the corner. April 8th. This gentleman turns 94 years old. How about that? One thing that hasn't changed in those 94 years, he is still, for my money, the funniest man alive, one of the smartest men alive, one of the most enjoyable people. Every time he's on, people want to hear him. Take the knob off your radio. Make sure you can't touch that button. If you're on a listening device, make sure there's no way to change it, because our guest this hour is the unimitatable, unoriginal Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
I'm all right. I got the wonderful introduction. I can hardly wait for that guy to get on. My God, who is that?
It's you, Shecky, on your way to 94 in a few days.
You want
to
know something that's frightening? I keep on seeing the 94 and hearing the 94, and I look back and I say to myself, what happened to 84? What happened to 64? It just, all of a sudden, it went fast.
So what does 94 feel like?
It feels 1 year older than 93. Could I tell you, about time? Well, I used to sit in a class, and it used to be 3:10, and I would watch that clock, and that clock would take, 1 minute would make a sound, and that was like 4 hours at 1 minute, and it kept on, and that 3:10 was like I can't tell you how long. And now, as you get older, it's bing, the time, it's like years, not minutes. So I went back to that school and I bought that clock.
So slowing down the time as we head into 94.
And the things that are happening, I'm 94 and I got to stay 6 feet from my wife. The doctor, that little doctor, what's his name? Who's she?
Oh, Fauci?
Fauci says that people should be 6 feet from each other. So my wife eats in the dining room and I eat in the kitchen. And it's an amazing, and then I'm singing, I got the whole world in my hands. I got the whole world in my hands. I got the whole, and the soap, and I keep on washing my hands because I keep on to wash the hands, and I've been washing my hands so long and so much, they shrunk.
Oh, no.
Yeah, from the hot water, like it looks, I can never play handball again. Oh, God, what happened to us? Well, I don't mind it, but the whole world.
The whole world.
I mean, who did this? There must be a God. And the God said, okay, you didn't do well enough with this world. I'm going to try it again.
You know, Shecky, you've been around. There are a few people who've had a perspective of 94 years. Have you ever seen anything like this in 94 years?
Well, you know, I've gone through some. In 94 years, it's a strange life because I went through the World War. I was in that. You know, I 1980, we watched the stock go, which I'm watching right now. You know, the deaths keep going up, and they're dying all over, and those numbers are higher, and my stock keeps going lower and lower, you know. And it's frightening to see. But in my lifetime, the things, when I was a kid in the 1930s, we had a depression. And I remember they came and they took my father's car, you know. It was in the garage, and they came. We couldn't pay for the monthly payments, and they came and they took my father's car.
Now,
and I always remember that.
Now this reminds me, Shecky, are you still driving at 94?
Yes, but I got a big sign on my car. I'm 94. Look out.
Did you ever get that claim?
But I had an accident with a guy with my car.
Oh, no.
And he was 95, so it was his fault. What?
Did you ever get the claim settled when you were hit in the car you had before?
No. You want to know something?
What happened?
And I couldn't find. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know my wife sold my car. She let that thing go by, and I got away with it because I ended up with a broken leg.
Now, what,
and that guy, whoever he is, got away with it.
Now, tell people what happened again. That was an interesting story.
Well, I was, you know, I was in Palm Springs, and I was on Cathedral. Cathedral City, and I'm just going myself, and I'm starting to turn to go into a. I got a thing about loose furniture and stuff I went to see. And anyway, this guy came about. I saw him in my way, coming about 100 miles an hour, this truck. And I just held onto my car real good, and this guy slammed into me. Now, I got out of the car, and I went looking around my car and everything. This guy was talking to somebody who I thought was a policeman. And I thought the policeman was taking care of all of that. And I didn't talk to the guy. Then the guy got in the car. He left. And I'm standing there with my car. And I didn't get any information or anything. The guy beat it.
So who was the guy?
I don't know. I never got his name. But this one guy took the papers and everything, and I put the papers in the car, and they took the car away.
No.
And now they took the car away, and I never saw the car again, and I found out later on my wife sold it.
So how badly were you hurt here?
Well, later on, the leg was broken, and again, I'm walking with a walker now. I'm still walking with a walker. And I used to be very physical, you know. On the stage, I used to do falls and those and leaps and all kinds of things. And now it's like, hi there, this is Shecky Green. How are you? I'm 94. It's a great life to be 94. Okay.
You know, Shecky, wasn't there a story as well that at one point you were walking out of a restaurant and you broke your leg?
No, I broke the leg in the restaurant.
Oh, in the restaurant.
This was a this was the Italian American Club, and they're friends of mine. And as I was walking out, their stage was built out, and I tripped over the stage and I broke the leg. And I never sued them or anything. You know, later people are saying to me, you got to sue, you got to sue. You know, everybody's got to sue. But when I went back in there, like with the broken leg and everything else, they picked up, I brought four people with me. They picked up the tab for one dinner.
Well, that's nice of them.
For one dinner. Guy said, I tell you the truth, you know something? If for somebody else and they break the leg too, I pick up a dinner for that.
They got a nice little scheme working there. Everybody who breaks their leg, they pay for their dinner.
One dinner.
One.
They got one cook just for the guy breaking, waiting for a guy to break his leg so they can cook the one dinner.
Now, Shecky, did you break your leg in the car accident first or at the restaurant?
No, the car accident, I hit things, and I didn't realize it. And then later on, about 2 weeks later, then the leg was broken. But at the time it happened, I didn't think anything happened to me. But, you know, it can only happen to me anyway. Everything happened to me.
You know, Shecky, during this time of worry in this country, being 94, you certainly are in the worry category at this point. Have you stayed inside? Are you self-isolating, as they say?
Oh, I haven't left her. I haven't left her now in 12 days.
12 days.
Yeah, I just found out where the toilet is. Took me 12 days. So I can wash my hands again. No matter what you do, no matter who you talk to on the phone, they say, and don't forget, wash your hands.
Oh, Shecky, you know, I know you like to go down to the grocery store in the morning, and you like to go over to the racetrack. Has this been tough to stay at home for 12 days?
Not really. You want to know something that's been good? I mean, it's a terrible thing to say it's been good for me, but it's been good that I stayed away from the horses. I watch them on television, you know? And I'm shocked that the jockeys are riding. I guess they're too small to catch anything. And yet, and this is the way they talk, you know what I mean? Hey, I want to tell you something. I'm riding number four today.
You know, I never thought about that, but they sound a little bit like Hervé Villachez. Maybe he could have been...
Oh, yeah. Here we go again.
Maybe he could have been a jockey.
Could I tell you something? This disease would have missed Hervé Villachez. He would have given the disease a disease. I want to tell you, man. It's a terrible thing. Everybody thinks I'm Spanish and Mexican. I'm French. J'ai les ronds et des plafonds, Hervé. Au bon vent, c'est qu'il est rangé au toit. Let's see. I got... What do we got here? Let's see. Oh, how about our president? Now, let me tell you, Scott. I know Ohio is a Republican, but let me tell you. Our president thought this was a hoax.
I believe you're right, yes. In the beginning.
Everything in the beginning. There's no ending with him. It's always the beginning. Anyway, he thought it was a hoax. That was, and how about with the weather, with the climate control? He also denied that there's such a thing as a climate control, that everything was melting and stuff. He hasn't guessed right. I'd hate to go to the racetrack with him. Who do you like, Donald? Nordstrom's in the fourth. Do you remember Nordstrom's, the trouble they had with Nordstrom's?
I do. He got into a lot of a little dust up there over his clothing line, wasn't it?
Well, then they threw her stuff out, the daughter. But Nordstrom's beat him. Everybody beat him in court.
You know, I was thinking about this last night. He really had a thing with Rosie O'Donnell. They had a really nasty relationship.
Well, I think that's his personality. I mean, she's probably got the same personality. I think she has. You know, I don't know Rosa O'Donnell personally.
She seems a little rough around the edges.
She is?
Well, I don't know. She seems that way.
I think so. And I think basically that the same personalities clashed.
I know that she and Barbara Walters got into a dust-up when she was on The View.
Well, Barbara Walters happens to be one of my dear friends. And I tell you, I love Barbara Walters. And Barbara Walters, that was her show, Barbara Walters.
Well, I think that was the problem, because Rosie came in, Barbara brought her in, and then Rosie wanted to run the show, and Barbara wasn't having that, so they got into some dust-ups.
Well, she's done very well, Rosie O'Donnell, for a person with no talent. I don't think she's got any talent at all. There's a lot of people out there that are supposed to be funny that are not funny.
Well, yeah, she...
Wait a minute, I'm looking in the mirror at the time.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute, let me take that mirror away.
You know, it's interesting, as time goes by, we think about Shecky Green being 94, but, you know, you think about Barbara Walters, she's 90 herself now.
Oh, she's about the same age as I am.
Very close.
Yeah.
And then Betty...
I was very friendly with her.
Betty White is 98.
Oh, I love Betty White. I did a show with Betty White. I just adored that lady.
So when you did the show with Betty White, compare and contrast working with her and Hervé Villechaize.
Well, you know, I went to hit Hervé Villechaize, but he was so small, I missed him. But Hervé had a star attitude. I will tell you, Billy, see, hey, man, you cause a lot of trouble and you would come late. You're 2 hours late and we're waiting for you, man. And the plane didn't come. The plane didn't come because of you. What happened to the plane? The plane just, if you were not here, the plane went right by mine. The plane went right by.
And he was packing heat?
And what's his name? What was it? Look at the way I forgot his name.
Ricardo. Ricardo.
Ricardo. Shake, I want to tell you something. Don't worry. This little man is a little crazy. Don't worry. All right?
Hey, I want to tell you. Don't tell him I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
That must have been a fun set to work on.
Oh, no. I wanted to get... I did a lot of things, like Laverne and Shirley. Phil Foster, my friend, wrote that with his girlfriend, the one I did, and it wasn't for me. I wasn't that kind of comic to do those things. Not that I wasn't an actor, because I could act, but some of those things were terrible.
But see, the intriguing thing about the Hervé Villechaize is that he had a gun.
Oh.
He said, I want to tell you, man, you don't...
His wife went to bring me coffee. She said, Shecky, would you like... They were just married. I said, what a lovely lady you were.
He said, I want to tell you, man, don't deceive my wife. I'm going to take my gun and shoot you. I'm going to shoot you.
Said, most people have a 32. He had a 12. A 32 was too heavy for him.
Well, you know, yeah, for all the trouble it seemed like he had, at least he was a straightforward guy. He would tell you if he was going to shoot you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but he would have shot me in the leg and the knee.
Oh, man. I wonder...
Could I tell you something? With publicity, you can make anybody a star. They keep on writing enough stuff.
This is true. I think you are exact. Now, so we know what it was like to work with Hervé. Now, Betty White, what was she like on the set?
Well, Betty White was just, I mean, she's just sugar, honey. She's just a lovely, wonderful lady.
Now,
she's a talented lady, and she's a wonderful lady.
Now, Betty White is 10 times the star that Hervé Villechaize was, so why do you think Betty is just a normal lady and Hervé was nuts?
Well, Hervé is not a lady. I mean, maybe he would have been better as a lady.
Well, you know, I thought French people were supposed to be nice and suave. He didn't.
Oh, listen, I went with a French girl. Forget about it. Who told you the French are nice? During the war, they turned the Jews in. My people were turned in by the French.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh.
You know that, don't you? The French were terrible with the Jews.
I do. I thought we had, you know, moved past that, but it's history.
I want to tell you something. Go to the temple. I want to get the 6 Jews.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
It was terrible. So this is good. Betty White was fun to work with. Hervé was rough. We all know that Ed Sullivan was a little rough around the edges.
Yeah, but look at what's happening now. Now we've got Biden. I don't know. I think he left town.
Yeah, where did he go?
Well, he left town, and the other guy, and Bernie left town because they don't want any part of this right now. They're taking over a country with people dying.
Well, do you notice, you know, like we're talking about age, you're about to be 94, but do you notice everybody running for president is about 75, 78 years old?
Yeah, sure.
You should run for president at this point.
Well, those guys are not really running. They're sort of walking. At 78, you don't run. Guy says, who's going for president? Two guys walking.
Do you think either one of them is equipped, Bernie or Biden, to go up against Trump?
Oh, Trump, I want to get, forgive me, Ohio, but I want to get Trump out so bad. I just, there's something, I can't, now, when the doctor talks, he's right next to the doctor, he's right next to poor Pence, he's going to get another pair of Pence. This Pence got a personality like lox. You don't know what lox is. That's salmon.
It's a breakfast food.
Yeah, but well, it's not a breakfast. It was in Norway. It's a delicacy.
Lox and bagels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do lox go with bagels?
Lox goes with bagels because some guy at the beginning when they bought bagels, said, what's that over there? He said, it's lox. He said, oh.
That's
would that go on top of that? Yeah, that'll fit just good. But why did you put a little cream cheese in there? Cream cheese? My God.
It's like talking to Julia Child, a history lesson in the world of food.
Oh, God, I just want to tell you all of the things. I made a chicken, but it fell on the floor. Where's that chicken? That was another of my favorites.
Did you know Julia Child?
I met Julia Child one time, and that was a joy.
So she was a nice lady as well.
She was a lovely lady.
Now
she was like, and she had a lovely husband, and she just was a nice lady.
Now,
and not only that, but a pretty good cook.
Oh, I hear her, that she did pretty well in that field.
But she never invited me for dinner. Oh, Shecky, I want to tell you that... They all got distinctive qualities, those people.
They certainly, you know, except Betty White. You know, she's really kind of a normal person.
Well, she did a show a long, long time ago with a guy that was an announcer. That they played husband and wife was the beginning of television, and I thought it was wonderful, and I always thought, well, Jesus should become a star, you know, and little by little, when she was married to Alan
Ludden.
Alan, what was Alan's last? He had the show
Password.
Password.
Alan Ludden.
Alan Ludden, who was also a lovely man. and they had a wonderful marriage, and it was a crime when he went.
Now, I know that you did a lot of those game shows. Did you ever do Password?
Yes.
How, was that?
Not a Password?
Yes.
No, let's see, not Password. I did Match Game.
Now, Match Game. Now, see, here's, let's get into this, because we had Pat Carroll on earlier on in the week, and she used to be on Match Game as well. Now, Match Game seemed like it could be a little raunchy at times, a little off color.
Yeah, but you'd want to know something. I wasn't really good for those shows because they really didn't. They brought me on, but there was nothing good special for me. Like Hollywood Squares, I did that once, and they really didn't get into me. They had me on the show, and that was it. You know. But I never had a chance to really be me. I want to be me. I want to be me.
Now, when you were on the Match Game or Hollywood Squares, now, did you get to come up with your own answers?
Yes.
That's good.
Yes. Matter of fact, I was right in the middle of probably one of my great jokes, and they cut me off. Peter, who was a very close friend of mine, and said, and that's good. All right, and then he went to somebody else, and I was still talking.
Now, do you remember the joke?
Yeah, it was about that I was aboard ship, my aircraft carrier, which they just kicked out the captain on the FDR. You know that story?
I
now?
Don't know.
Well, the captain of the aircraft carrier, the FDR, he wanted his sailors to get off, and he made a deal, and the admiral kicked him off. He said that they took him away from took him away from being the captain of the ship. Anyway, the thing is, I was in charge of an ice cream stand aboard ship. Did I ever tell you that?
No, I didn't know this.
I was in charge of an ice cream stand. Everybody else was shooting the Japanese with 20s and 40s, and I was with a scoop. Here, take the strawberry. Here, there's chocolate. Oh, it's a very nice to come down and get chocolate. I got the presidential unit scoop at the end of the war.
Well,
now, can I tell you something? What's going to be with our world? I'm so frightened. Every time I pick up this and I look at television to see what's happening. In Italy, I mean, they're having a race. Who's better, the Chinese or the Italians? Who's going to die the most?
Oh, it's a mess. It's a mess in the world right now. And I don't know what the end of this is going to look like.
You don't know what?
What the end of this is going to look like.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm 94. I don't think I'll be at the end.
No. You've made it.
Yeah, but it's frightening.
How
I got the whole world in my hands, yep.
Now have you come up with any because you're a musically talented guy. Have you come up with anything in regard to this virus?
Yes, you know what's funny? I was writing, I was a thing, and it's, the name of the song was I Was a Statistic.
Well, that's interesting.
I was a statistic during the disease. I kept on praying on my knees, dear God, just pass me by. And as people went, I saw tears in their eyes. What a shame to be a statistic and you don't have a name. When is this all going to end? Oh, God, what a shame.
Ooh.
Hallmark 769-432.
Oh, man. You know, it's very tough.
That's what I should be working at, Hallmark.
Yes, yes.
Wait, I'm losing you.
Oh, you are? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, now I got you.
All right. So, So during this time, what do you feel people should know about the world?
Well, you're not going to find out much about the world because they want you to stay in the house. I don't think there's too many. They're not going to write a Declaration of Independence anymore or a Constitution. You know, if they write anything about this, it'll be two lines. And then the guy's got to wash his hands. It's just funny. After this is all over, we're going to all carry around soap.
Do you think this will change the world in any way?
Well, you know, one of the most wonderful things is I was watching this, and here we talk about Russia, and we talk about China, and we talk about North Korea. All of a sudden, Russia comes flying in with a plane, and they bring masks and everything else. What is that about? We hate Russia, and they flew in all of this stuff. Did you see that?
I did see that.
You did?
I did.
Yeah. So in the back of the plane, there was bombs. In the front of the plane, there were masks.
Well, at least they balanced it out.
Yeah. Just don't turn the plane around.
Well,
can I tell you something? Trump don't know what's happening. And it can only happen to a guy like this. I think God said, here, take some of this. I mean, we had enough of you.
Well, he does get up there every night and do a press conference.
Yeah. Can I tell you? Better he presses his pants. Let him do a press conference. Press your pants. He's not one of my favorites.
No, I can see that. But you did work with him at one point, did you? Or he worked for you, or you worked for
no,
him?
No, I worked in his hotel.
And how did that go?
Fine. I did, you know, like. He had a roof, wasn't built yet. It was this Taj Mahal or whatever it was, and it wasn't finished yet, the roof. And that's what's going to be with it, with the 4 years, not finished yet.
Oh.
But I guess that's easier for God to get in and destroy.
Gas prices, I've noticed, are almost at a dollar at this point.
Oh, my God. And I'm not driving. I'm in a house. Take a look at that. I could save all that money on gas, and I'm in the house.
Now, do you ever get the urge to go outside?
Oh, yeah, sure I get the urge. I mean, this is not like me. I can't believe that I'm in the house, except I don't know, what would you call my wife? In Jewish, we call it a bella boss. It means that's the big boss. In Italian, it would be the Don.
So she's running the household.
Oh, are you kidding? I gotta have a key. You can ask her for a key to get into the toilet.
You know, it's...
Could I have a second helping of the eggplant?
Well, during this time, Shecky, have you learned anything about your wife spending all this time with her?
Have I learned anything about my wife? I learned that she gained a lot of weight. she's now a 14.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's see what else.
Oh, boy.
I learned that I need her very desperately, and I love her very, very much. I think when I see her, what she does, she's a special person. Because I had two before. Jews should never marry Filipinos. I'll tell this on your radio show.
Go ahead.
Jews should never marry Filipinos.
Well, why should that not happen?
Why? Because they get too much money at the end of the marriage. I have to move into a different neighborhood. I married a girl. She had a Hawaiian show at the Stardust Hotel, and I used to go after we were breaking up. I used to burn all her grass skirts while she was in them.
Oh no!
to the woman. Hey, don't do that, man. Don't do that.
You know what's funny? Talking about this coronavirus horrible thing, you had an incident at the, I was just on the tip of my tongue, the hotel in New York many years ago, the Wellington Hotel in New York, where you had the flu and were in a very rough patch.
Oh, that was what the fellow that just died was Sammy Shore. Sammy Shore worked with Elvis Presley. He was a comedian. He was my first partner. And I caught, what was it that I caught? My God, look at the way I forgot this. Anyway, I caught this thing that you catch. It's like what's going around now. And I said to this guy, Sammy, could you bring me some water? He says, I can't go in there, Sheldon. He says, because you got the disease. He says, I once caught something from a guy, and I won't come in there. I had to call down the room service to get a glass of water. Cost me $10 for the bellboy. And I stayed at the Wellington for a long time. I'll never forget that, the Wellington. The Wellington was across the street from the Stage Delicatessen. And every morning, the smell of the lox and bagel and all that Jewish food would come into my room. That got me well.
The Wellington is right next to Carnegie Hall, very close to Central Park.
Yeah, it's right next to Carnegie Hall. I worked Carnegie Hall.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, how did that go?
It went sensational, except I brought an act with me. I brought an Italian kid and his wife that sang, and he had a chip on his shoulder. I said, you must be thrilled to be working in New York at the Carnegie Hall. Hey, what do you mean, man? You know what I mean? What are you putting me on? I went, oh, my God. I brought the act in. That's the funny part about it.
You know, that's you did not seem to have good luck with partners and opening acts.
And wives and mothers and fathers and Donald Trump.
Now, who have you had good luck with? Who was a fun person?
That's funny because I've got some very close friends that were great during my lifetime. When I had friends, I had good friends.
Have you run into Larry King recently?
With my car.
Not one of your favorites.
No, you know, I think not one of my favorites. I would say I could talk to him and everything else. I mean, it's just his attitude toward me. I couldn't. I mean, the man never saw me work. He'd tell me that I stunk on television. You know, I look at some of my television stuff, and they were great, and some of it stinks. You know, but that's a career. Some good, some bad.
And certainly Larry.
That goes with marriages, too.
Well, do you remember when Larry kissed Marlon Brando? I mean, he certainly had some bad moments.
He did what?
He kissed Marlon Brando on the... Well, Marlon Brando kissed him on the lips right on television.
Well, I think Marlon Brando had a little bit of that anyway.
Oh, little leanings that way, huh?
Yeah. Stella! Get me a boy, Stella!
Can't you see he and Larry King at the grocery store shopping together?
Oh, my God. Well, I think Larry thinks... Larry King once came at me at the racetrack, and he went to throw me over. And if I would have been in a position, the position, I would have killed him. He doesn't know that. He thinks he got away with something. But I'm going to tell you... He thinks he's a hitter. I don't know why.
Is he like a Bella Boss?
He's a Bella Boss. He's definitely a Bella Boss. That you can have that. He's a Bella Boss. Da 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 la da 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 da. I'm a frustrated singer.
So he just knocked you out of the way at the racetrack.
Yeah, I was standing there to make a bet, and then he come. There was nobody around, and he came and gave me a push, like, you know, to knock me over. So I took him and I straightened him out and everything. But I left it go at that.
Now, when you say straightened him out, what did you do?
Well, I mean, I got him off of me, like, you know, he couldn't get me down. But he's a lucky man because he don't know, you know, I fought and everything. This isn't just a little comedian.
Now, with your background being kind of a, you know, a fighter and these being in good shape and all these sorts of things, when you would run into people like Larry King and Irve and Ed Sullivan who were not nice people, did you ever get the urge to put a hurting on them?
No, not really. No, I mean, if you want to know something, they're really funny. All of that stuff is fun. That's show business. I ran into the most wonderful people in the world, and I ran into such crap, pardon the expression, using that word, but crap. You know, some people that they get in the show, they get this star complex, you know.
Now, was Ed Sullivan a Bella boss?
He was a Bella boss, oh God. But he was a nice man. After he left that show and everything, when he and I became very close.
You know, we've talked about Ed a lot, and when you would show up the day of the show, before you would go out and you would run into Ed, what was his move? Because we know he was unhappy when you would come off, but before you went on, and he knew you, did he make small talk before you went on or anything?
Checking. I want to tell you something. I want you to be the biggest star in showbiz. I want you to go out there and really kill him. I do the show to come. You didn't kill him. What did I do, Ed? You lit a bomb.
So he
you
was...
know what? I could have given that spot right there to Alan King.
So he was not. He was pleasant beforehand.
Yeah, he was different moods, you know. But he wanted to know he was the boss. You know, he'd before the show, he'd be talking to the elephant. Now, I don't want you to wave your trunk around like you did the last time. And stop eating those peanuts before you go on.
And Topo Gigio.
Right here, Topo Gigio.
Hello, Ed. Listen, I want to tell you something. That little Frenchman, I talk just like him, right, Ed?
The two of them, they should have had him on the same show.
Irve and Topo?
Topo and Irve.
You know, I just learned recently that Joan Rivers used to write for Topo Gigio.
Yeah, right.
Were you ever asked to write for Topo Gigio?
No, I'll tell you. No. I think Joan Rivers, I like Joan Rivers, and we were very close, and then one as time went on, because I had a dinner with her and a friend of hers in New York one time, and she hardly talked to me. And I couldn't believe it. As she got bigger, it was like we got like farther apart.
But she, in general, was a nice lady.
You want to know something? Basically, yes. Yeah. Yes. I didn't like some of the stuff she did in Iraq, but I liked Edgar, the husband who committed suicide. But I imagine being married to Joan, a lot of people would commit suicide. Well, I don't mean it that way. I mean, she had that kind of personality. Yeah. She was, when she wanted something, she really went at it.
Now, this makes me think you also worked on the Roseanne television series.
No, I just did a little thing that played a Jewish uncle.
You were Uncle Saul.
Yeah, Uncle Saul. That was nothing. But she said something, I told you that. I thought they eat when she said about the Jews. Because she's Jewish. She said about, is that what they eat? We had the buffet there. And she said, is that what they eat? They made it sound like like we were African natives.
She was not nice to the children.
Oh, when she told those kids off, there was a bunch of kids in the program because for the bar mitzvah. And I said to John Goodman, what is she, nuts? What's screaming at these kids like that? She says, you little SOB, she said, keep quiet. You won't think you're in show business. You're not in show business.
You know what? Do you think on a show you have to have that? You've got to have, John Goodman was normal, Roseanne was nuts, and...
John Goodman was a doll.
And you know, you had Irve, who was nuts, and Ricardo, who was normal.
Now, I was on a lot of shows. I got to figure out which one was the nuts or the normal.
That's how you get a hit show. You got to have a crazy person, and then you have somebody to level them out.
Oh, they had a lot of those. A lot of those. My God. I used to watch Jerry Lewis get take off on people, you know.
Now, was it fun to work the telethon?
No, I only did... it's very strange about that. We did a thing about Henny Youngman. We're doing Henny Youngman jokes. There was look at this. This is one of my best friends, Crosby.
Norm Crosby.
Normie. Oh my God, Shecky. I am 94. Look at that. At 94, all your names go out of your head. Anyway, the three of us were on. And I did one of the things, the jokes that I did it with a Jewish accent. He got so mad. He got crazy. And finally, when he came to see me work, I told the audience about it. He was in the audience. And I says, you're just not a nice man. And the other guy never, I knew the other guy for, and we were partners in a hotel together. He never talked to me. Dean.
Oh, he was not a little rough?
No, he wasn't rough. He was just in another world someplace. I don't know. No, it wasn't rough with me. He just wasn't there with me.
I heard he liked to drink a little.
You know what? Later on, that was all baloney.
So he was really not a drinker?
Not the way they said, no. Mm. Everybody loves somebody sometime. Give me another drink, and I got a reputation. Wait and see.
Shecky, I cannot believe it. Our time has run out, but on behalf of a lot of people, I want to wish you a happy 94th birthday, and we will talk again very soon, I'm sure. Do you want to leave the audience with a little happy note, a happy song, a happy moment?
I love you all, it's plain to see, and don't be a number. Do you agree? I want you all to have a long life the way I do. I love you all there in Ohio. And Scott, I cannot tell you how much I thank you for keeping me alive.
Oh, I love you, Shecky. Stay well. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, bye-bye. The one and only Shecky Green will be back on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. And it's been something else, I assure you of that.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Program WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported.